We're going to get into the Word. I'd ask you to bear with me as we go along here today, and we'll get into our scripture, our text here in a little bit, but I'd like to just speak with you for a little bit before we do that. Let's pray one more time before we begin. Father, we just want to acknowledge your presence here, your center role in all that has happened, even in the past 30 years. We give glory to you, Lord. We thank you for the time that we had Pastor Dave with us. We thank you for all the sacrifices that were made by him and his family and all that has gone on ahead. May we, Lord, understand clearly who we are today, what we're called to do, what we're called to be, and that we would step forward, Lord, and continue on this journey. And we praise your name. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7 says, "Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders, and they will tell you. Remember the days of long ago." And that has a lot to do with why we are here today, what we are doing here before you and all of us here together. Let me ask you a question in the beginning here. How do you feel when you stand on the verge of reaching a long-awaited goal? How does that make you feel? I mean, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you relieved that the journey is nearly over? Or are you frightened of the tests? Are you frightened of the trials that still lay ahead? Or do you view your future this morning with courage and a faith in God? It had taken the people of God 40 years to finally get to that promise. 40 years. It was a 40-year journey through the wilderness that had now brought Israel to stand upon that mountaintop overlooking what had been promised to them so very, very long ago. Now, even in this, even in wrapping our minds around that moment, we must realize that at that moment, every Israelite over the age of 20 years of age that had left Egypt under Moses' leadership, every one of them was now dead. There was only three people that started on that journey that was still there. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Everybody else, tens of thousands, everyone else had died without ever realizing the victory of that moment. Without ever seeing the prize that God had sent them out for. I wonder if we can imagine that, if we can wrap our minds around that fact this morning. One certainly would have to step back and say, why? I mean, what had caused those Israelites who left Egypt by God's power to lose the privilege of setting foot in that promised land? Now, firstly, we need to remember this morning that God never breaks a promise. 40 years before this day, God had told the children of Israel in Exodus 6, he says, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." God always keeps his promises. God made us a similar promise, this church. And here we stand this morning. Yet both then and in our present age, and those that maybe that have participated in this fellowship in the past, some, again, both then and now, some doubted that promise. Truth be told, the initial company of Israelites in this account that departed Egypt, they actually did so, at least the majority of them, they did so with reluctance. Because you see, as bad as things were in Egypt, better the devil you know was the thought that ruled the day. Like now, I think people thought it better to live in the hell of bondage and slavery as long as they had what they perceived to be safety and security. Better to live through that hell and bondage than to risk it all on a dream. During their 40-year journey, many of you know the account. You know that the children of Israel alternately blessed and cursed the name of God, back and forth. When he showed them miracles, or when he punished them for rebellion, they would then humble themselves. When life then became difficult, when the familial testing, if you will, of traveling with thousands of people and all the rigors of the desert, and they're tired of eating manna and all that stuff that was going on, life became tedious, and they hardened their hearts, and there was anger and there was resentment. And again, if you know the account, each time they rebelled, it seemingly was easier the next time. And eventually, they forgot his power. And instead of remembering that it was he that held their very lives, their very breath in his hands, they instead began not to fear God, but to fear the world. They began to fear the Canaanites and the other enemies that wanted to destroy them. They feared them because they didn't want to lose the security that they had. So because of fear, because of rebellion, because of unthankfulness, because of unfaithfulness, they lost their privilege to enter into the promised land. And God just simply got someone else. I think about that generation that headed off across our own proverbial desert to our own promised land. Because 30 years ago, the faces that sat here amongst us was very, very different. And like the children of Israel, that generation is almost wholly missing from this body of believers today. I have a picture. I was tempted to put it up. A picture taken in one of the storefronts, not the old church, but one of the ones on the way. And I think there must have been maybe 60, 70 people in that picture, all in the front of the church. And if you look at that picture, there's not one single individual in that picture that is still here today. Not one. They too lost their privilege, it seems, to enter into the promised land. Fear, rebellion, unthankfulness, unfaithfulness. And we left them in the wilderness along the way. God just got somebody else. Now, where we are in the thinking on this storyline, there was a new generation now. They stood on that mountaintop looking into the distance into the promised land. all the blessings and the joys, and yes, even the battles that still awaited them. Were they ready? Did they at all realize and acknowledge, you know, this great blessing of receiving that which was denied to their fathers before them? Did they see that day as the end of their journey, the fruition of all of their labors, or did they see it as the beginning of some real blessings that was also going to come with some real battles? Did they understand that they, standing there on that mountaintop, did they understand that they were under the care and the blessings of God? When they reached that day, that moment, Moses was 120 years old. Yet Deuteronomy 34:7 says, quote, "His eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever." Quite a testimony. 120 years old, yet he was profoundly loved by all of the people. I mean, Moses had been their guide, their counselor, their advocate before God, their inspiration, their judge, and he had been their pastor for over 40 years. He was the guy who had set them free from Egypt. And in spectacular fashion, the sea literally opened at his cry. And the people of Israel literally walked out there, just walked right on out of Egypt on dry ground. One would think that that event and that memory would be so burned into their psyche that they would never forget. But you see, Moses would not be going on into the promised land. In fact, his journey would end right there and right then. So Moses, he called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, "Joshua, be strong and be courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors that he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." So just as it was for my pastor Moses, it was never to be the calling of this Moses to lead his people through the battles and the land acquisitions that were to come in that promised land across the river. It was the calling of Moses to lead his people to the door, and then he would hand off that baton to the next leader, to Joshua, who would then lead God's people on through the next phase of the journey. He would lead them through the next chapter in the story. And just as God brought the people out of the land of bondage by parting the Red Sea, he would now actually bring them into the land of promise. And he would do so by reminding them. He would do so once again by showing himself real, because he would literally divide the Jordan River that was before them. But this time things would be different, because this time there were no armies chasing after them as it was in Egypt. This time the only enemies that were hounding the people of God were the ones that were inside of them. The enemies of fear and apathy, the enemies of worldliness, Self-entitlement? I mean, they certainly could have taken their time here. They could have built rafts or boats. They could have taken their time getting across the river. But God chose to do something spectacular once again. He would part the waters before them. And as I read this story, I couldn't help but think, why? Why would he do that? I mean, certainly they weren't going to walk across the Red Sea back with Moses. That one was understood. But why the river? Why did he stop the river? Perhaps he just wanted the people to know he was with them. Perhaps he wanted the people to know that they had nothing to fear. Maybe he just wanted them to know that then and forever, it would always be them, him, who would open all the doors for them. Maybe he just wanted them to know that he would always point the way. You see, I believe God that day wanted Israel to know that it didn't matter if they were big enough or strong enough or smart enough to push forward according to their own plans and their own will without the miraculous. Well, it may be a good idea, but it didn't make it a God idea. They were big and they were strong. At that point, maybe Israel could have done just about anything, including get across that river. But God chose to do it himself. And as the people of God stood there by that river, the Lord issued them a very important warning. It is a warning that I would like today, this 30th anniversary of this church, that we would hear this warning too. When the Lord your God brings you into great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all goods which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and you shall be satisfied. Watch yourself, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Please notice God's emphasis in that passage with the repeated phrase, which you did not, which you did not. The blessings of God's people would receive, all that they would experience would come from God's hand, not from their own power and not from their own wisdom. But Moses, he warned the people of the greatest danger of blessing. The greatest danger of blessings is that we forget God. We have that same vulnerability this morning, don't we? Jesus Fellowship. Long past are the days of storefronts and white plastic chairs. Long past is the days where your pastor or pastors all worked all week long so that they could minister on the weekends. In most cases, long past are the cars that seemed to leak more oil than they burned, and they burned a lot. And we were just a bunch of young kids, all just happy to be together serving Jesus. Unless we watch ourselves, we too have the ability to follow after Israel in this fashion. we can allow our blessings to distract us from the devotion to Jesus Christ. Will we forget where we came from? See, again, most of you did not start this journey. Most of you did not cross on through the Red Sea. Most of you are second gen. And not knowing where you've come from can make it really easy to find yourself going back. Before we know it, we can easily replace a devotion to the Lord with a devotion to His blessings. And He has so blessed us beyond my wildest imagination. And what can happen, and just in a sad, twisted irony, if you will, those blessings can become our focus instead of the God who gave them. And it will be those blessings that can actually eventually destroy us. Our blessings this morning, Jesus Fellowship, they surround us. But make no mistake, they all came from God. Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13, Moses gave the people a command. He said, at the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, you must read this book of instruction to all the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the place He chooses. He says, call them together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so that they may hear this book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Do this so that your children who have not known these instructions will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. You see, we as a community, we have always held up the Word of God as our supreme guide and our supreme direction. Many of you, including this pastor and his wife, will attest that the teaching of the Word of God, even after having grown up in a church all my life, the teaching of the Word of God changed our lives. It was like we had never heard it before. Everything changed. And for the record, today on our 30th, we reaffirm that commitment. We are and we will always be Bible people. We will embrace it. We will rejoice in it. It will always be our roadmap. Because God, you see, even in that account and this morning, saw the dangers that lie up ahead. Because further on in Deuteronomy 31, the Lord said to Moses this. He says, Moses, you're about to die and join your ancestors. And after you're gone, these people will begin to worship foreign gods, the gods of the land where they're going. They'll abandon me and they'll break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will blaze forth against them. I will abandon them. I will abandon them. Hiding my face from them, and they will be devoured. Terrible trouble will come down on them, and on that day they will say, these disasters have come down on us because God is no longer among us. And at that time, I will hide my face from them on account of all the evil they commit by worshiping other gods. So write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Help them to learn it so it may serve as a witness for me against them. Now again, many of you are very aware of this story and of this account. It seems that God is always making time almost circular. It seems to play out over and over again. We read that account, and while there were so many, literally tens of thousands of people who failed to ever see the promises of God come to pass, that they never got to see the promised land, there's always that few that stand out, that stand unmovable. And there's a few of you that are here this morning, and you have been there with me almost from the beginning. In this account, there was Caleb. I mean, we all know who Moses is. We almost all know who Joshua is. Who's this mysterious man, Caleb, that made it all the way through? Joshua 14 says, a delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, he came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. And I returned and I gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me, they were frightened of the people. So they were frightened from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking, there will be your grant of land and that your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, Caleb said, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all of these 45 years since I made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old and I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found that the descendants of Anak, they're the giants, living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of that land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. So, now for over 45 years, Caleb fought the battles and he stayed loyal to God, to Moses, and finally to Joshua. He did not fade out. He did not retire. He did not surrender or go seeking a comfortable rocking chair, you know, next to a golf course somewhere. He was 85 and he was still strong and he was still trusting. And that's a mark for me this morning. And see, you need to know Caleb. Out of all of Israel, of all of the promised land, Caleb chose as his inheritance the piece of the pie, if you will, that he would get. He chose the hardest land that was out there. The mountains of walled cities with giants in them. Now that is a man. A man who trusted not in himself, but in his God. Why? Because he had seen it for 85 years. And on a personal note, that's a man I look forward to meeting. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23 this morning. Joshua chapter 23. Beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given the rest to Israel from all of their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all of Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and he said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, Joshua now echoing the word said to him, therefore, be very courageous. Be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go out among these nations, those who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, even as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourself. Therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they into you, know for certain the Lord your God will no longer drive out the nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from the good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Turn a few pages ahead, Joshua 24. Verse 13. I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns that you did not build. Towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and back in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. If you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I read this account this morning, and it was almost like it was written yesterday just to us. The problem with humanity is that we tend to repeat history over and over again. I read this account this morning and I hear the voice of the Lord. I hear even the voices of Moses and Joshua, and they all echo down through the centuries to ring out that same truth this morning. What will it be, believers? Will we indeed keep serving the Lord? Or will we grow comfortable in all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us here in our promised land? Will we allow distractions and worldliness and self-entitlement to come in and be our new gods? For these are the gods of the world. And this world is not our home. Israel did not hold true to these promises that day. And well, you kind of know the rest of the story, don't you? Right up until today, there really hasn't been more than a few minutes of peace. You see, Jesus' fellowship, we made it out of Egypt. Many of you did so personally, as well as corporately as a church. We went through the wilderness, and we crossed the River Jordan. And today I'm here to tell you that we do indeed possess the land that he promised us. We are here. But we have not arrived. There are still giants in the land. And there are people who want to stop us, and the enemy who would like to take this land away from us. Today we are here. What will it be tomorrow? God will not fail us. God will not fail us. Let us be sure today that we do not fail him. Let us not forget this morning where we have come from. Let us not forget the journey that brought us to this day. But I'm here to tell you the fight is far from over. And for me, as I've always said to you guys, that I'd like to do this for 500 years, if you'd let me do it. Maybe, if God is so willing, you can wheel me up here, you know, or walk up here with my walker at 20 years from now, and we can celebrate 50 together. That'd be great, won't it? Or maybe we'll all do so together on the other side. Because as I've said, the fight this morning is far from over. And we need to commit ourselves today on this, of our 30th anniversary of this church, we need to commit ourselves to go on with a sword in one hand and a Bible in the other. We're here. Let us possess the land. Amen. Let's stand. Music team, if you want to come forward.